The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The life that you give away in love does not ever come up the loser, ever. This is different from the corn god, who does it just for you. He invites us to actually live it ourselves. How did Bonhoeffer put it? When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Hey, greetings, people loved by God. Maybe you remember the last time grain or bread was the topic in John's Gospel, back in chapter 6. Remember how Jesus had tossed the problem to two of his disciples to solve? Where shall we get bread that these may eat? Remember the two, Philip and Andrew? I don't think it's an accident that we meet the exact same two in today's reading, nor an accident what Jesus says to them and how it connects back to that great point we learned in John 6. Because they did what Jesus said and gave away their bread, they ended up with an abundance, more than they could ever have dreamed. The continuation of the Holy Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. John 12, verses 20 to 33. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that in the midst of our failures and weaknesses, we may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Are you ready to dig in? Here we go. Verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. This is, of course, that feast, the Passover, when the Lamb of God would sacrifice himself so that death might pass over all who are found sheltering beneath his blood, all even who are not of the bloodline of Abraham. So some Greeks were there at this feast. Greeks here probably carries the same meaning you find in Galatians 3, where St. Paul would say, there's neither Jew nor Greek, just kind of the word that lots of Jews used for everybody who wasn't a Jew, all the Gentiles, the outsiders. But that they'd come to worship at the feast suggests that these outsiders were at least God-fearers, that is, hangers-on at the synagogue, not submitting to circumcision yet. That's how St. Cyril of Alexandria takes it. Or it could be that they were Gentiles who had been circumcised and had adopted Judaism as their own faith, but they were still, as the natives of Maine like to say, from away. They weren't first-class citizens like those who carried the bloodline of Abraham and Judah. Verse 21. So these came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Just an aside, there's more than one pulpit in Christendom that has those words inscribed on the top of it for the preacher to see and remember as he begins preaching. "Sir, we would see Jesus." Great reminder. Remember Isaiah's description, Galilee of the Gentiles? And so of the nations, of the Greeks to a Jew. Recognizing an affinity with folks from up there, they seek out Philip. He bears the same name, after all, as the Philip of Macedon, who is the father of Alexander the Great. And Philip goes with Andrew to tell Jesus about some Greeks who want to see him. Interesting verb, see, not hear. But Jesus answers them in a peculiar way. His hour of glorification has arrived, for near at hand was the time of his passion, after which the calling of the Gentiles immediately followed Cyril of Alexandria. This is his feast. How will he be glorified? He uses language that the folks with the corn god in their background would immediately recognize. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So you can eat the seed corn, but then there'll be no crop. Or you can do what looks foolish and throw the seed corn away, bury it in the ground. And lo and behold, from that buried grain, that buried kernel, you raise up many, many, many more kernels. The paganism of the ancient Near East focused a lot on that natural miracle. Jesus, he lifts the whole thing and he applies it to himself. And a good Jew hearing would have been a little bit befuddled because it was not part of their way of thinking. But one with Greek background would have opened his eyes in astonishment and realized he's going to die to give his life away so that we might live. Jesus goes on. Verse 25, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Well, that sounds kind of like you lose either way, doesn't it? You love your life, you're not going to get to keep it. You hate your life, that's the life you're stuck with forever. That's, of course, hearing it totally the wrong way around. He means if you love your life in such a way that you try to cling to it at all costs and do whatever you think it takes to preserve your earthly life, well, it'll be like the lunch in John 6. If you eat it yourself, it's just gone. But if you hate your life, meaning that you do not choose to put the sustaining of your life as the highest good and goal, you get this shockingly wonderful surprise. This basket full of leftovers after you eat is bigger by far than the life you gave up. You want to serve me? Well, then you'll follow me. And I'm headed into this giving up of my life, giving it away in the confidence that my Father has more life to dish out to me, and not just to me, but to all who believe in me through him, than any of us could ever lose. Honor me this way, with laying down your life for me and with me, and my Father will honor you. You will see. The life that you give away in love does not ever come up the loser, ever. This is different from the corn god, who does it just for you. He invites us to actually live it ourselves How did Bonhoeffer put it? When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this very purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. This, people loved by God, is the only hint you have in all of John's gospel of the human recoil which Jesus had before the cup his Father set him to drink. His soul is troubled. He knows full well what he must do, and he trembles before it the same as any human being trembles before the terror of death. Only his trembling was even more because he knew full well the weight of sin he was preparing to shoulder and the full terror of divine wrath. But he doesn't ask for it to be turned aside. He plows straight ahead with the second petition of the Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, glorify your name. This is why I've come to this very hour, this very moment. And as he prays this, there's a mighty answer from heaven itself. The Father speaks. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. He goes to his cross to bring to fulfillment everything the pagans distortedly and longingly hoped for from their corn god. He will do it, with the Father's glory being his goal, so that even these pagans would come to worship and glorify his Father for the gift of his Son into suffering and death and through death to resurrection. And resurrection, my friend, that is something that the poor Greeks had no idea about or use for. That was something that the Jews got that the pagans largely missed. Verse 29. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. How easy to misunderstand the living voice of God. His very voice is explained away by the crowd in one way or the other. Jesus is not perturbed. He knows the voice was for them and not for him. He knew who he was and where he had come from and where he was going, as we'll shortly hear in the next chapter. But Jesus proclaims that the time has come for the judgment of this world. It is a mark of St. John's gospel and teaching that Jesus moves everything up in it. John delights in how Jesus actually brings the end into the present so that we can literally live from its inner life toward the moment when the end that is hidden becomes visible, that is, at his appearing. So Jesus here in effect says, you want to know what the judgment of the world is? It's not when I sit on my throne and send people to heaven or to hell. Here's the judgment. Tossing out the ruler of this world, that would be Satan, and restoring people to God, dragging them to him, which both happen as I am lifted up. Technical term there for the crucifixion, as the evangelist makes explicit. But suggestive also that through his passion and burial, he drags through death to resurrection, to a lifting up of human flesh into incorruptibility and immortality. The judgment is that Jesus exposes and topples the lies of Satan about God and man, and they all come crashing down as he is lifted up, giving his life away in the confidence that it won't be in vain, but that it will be the very salvation of the world, summoning us too not to fear the life of love that lays down its life for the sake of the brethren. No way after the cross you can ever conclude that Satan was right in the garden and that God was somehow holding out on us. He holds back nothing. In the end, he has more life for us than we have death. then he invites us to live that life with him. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.